Do we have any questions? The two sessions? Yes. Anne? Sorry, can you say a little louder? It was,
How do we reconcile God's omniscience with God's choice? God
didn't give us free
will.
Okay, very good. I also want to ask you that question too, if you had no questions, which I didn't cover last time. Basically, I think we all heard about the term predestination, right? Correct? And predestination basically belongs to the category of God's omniscience. And while human beings living in this world, okay, it's kind of hard to understand that the past and the future and the exist at the same time. God proclaimed what's going to happen in the future, but from the beginning. Do you understand? That's what the Bible says, right? God's omniscience, in one way, is that God can foretell what's happened in the future from the beginning. So before the world creates, basically the Lord can foretell what is going to happen. Now, but then there's a lot of problem. While human beings, while in this world, right? That doesn't make sense. Why would I do that if I know what's going to happen, right? There's a contradiction, okay? So what I want to tell you is, yes, Bible indeed says something about predestination. But what I want to convey is that is surpassing human beings' understanding. Okay? I had no answer for that because that's talking about the future and the past and present time and how God somehow can manage it and do what you do. But however, there are two extremes in this society, okay, in this society right now, the train of thoughts. One extreme is saying that if you had talked to other denomination believers, I talked to some of them, and they say that once I believe, I'm absolutely safe. I say, what made you think that? What's your basis? And then the basis on the Romans chapter 9. Say, whatever God predestined, God also called. Whoever God's called, right, God will glorify. So God called me. I'm definitely predestined. I'm definitely, glorified. I'm safe. So no matter what I do, I'll be safe. And that's not right. Okay? That's people have don't understand. Predestination is something, honestly, okay, if I have heard so many explanations, but somehow it's still a very controversial issue because there is main factor is I discover is we human being understanding is very limited, okay? So that's one extreme where people misinterpret it and, you know, they have come to a conclusion that whatever, no matter what I do, I'll be safe, and that's wrong. Another thing I also heard that happened in our church is that somehow some people was talking predestination in the church, in our class, and the children came back home later. They both are twins, okay? And they both heard it, and one of them say, from now on, I don't need to do anything because everything is predestined. This thing predestined, that thing predestined. So there's no point for me to work. If I don't work, God's still going to give it to me. Okay. So this is too extreme of the predestination. And basically, our understanding is we need to obey God. And that's a sure way to be safe. And not using predestination and say, oh, this is how I justify. Okay. Does that answer your questions? So basically, I had no answer about anything about predestination. Yes. Okay. I'm not that all-knowing. Okay. Now you know. Huh? Any other questions? Okay. If not, let's talk about the characteristic of God. Before we talk about characteristic of God, first we had to understand the concept, absolute. What's absolute? What's absolute? Okay, somebody tell me. How will you define absolute?
Not
couple of days ago, we talked about, yesterday, we talked about infinity, right? Now, we have to understand this term, absolute. What is absolute?
Very certain,
never changing, okay? I'd like to add one more phrase, no doubt about it, okay? Right? Absolute. Some people say absolutely, absolutely, okay? Very sure, no doubt about it. But what if somebody said this is absolute and you doubt what's absolute? You doubt what is no doubt about it. Do you think that person knows what it is, what it means no doubt about it? Do you understand my logic? Let me repeat again, okay? Absolute means no doubt about it. Very sure, certain, it's true. But if we doubt what's absolute, we are doubting, no doubt about it. Okay, we doubt, no doubt about it. Do you think we know, we understand, no doubt about it? No, we don't. Another word, okay, what I mean is when something is declared as absolute, okay, there's no point to find contradiction in there. In mathematical term, okay, if something is absolute, that's it. You either take it or you leave it. Since that if a thing or a person is by nature is absolute, then there's nothing to talk about. That's the way it is. Do you understand? But if we talk about it, we question on it, and we attack it, and then we're missing the point. That's absolute. Okay. So in the Bible, God's character is mentioned as absolute. And God has four kinds of character. Let's first talk about the first one. And we'll see how God's character is absolute. First character of God is faithfulness. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Here it says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Verse 18. "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Here the Lord proclaimed the certainty of God's word is absolute. Even the world can go away, disappear, but the word of God had to be fulfilled. And that's how absolute it is. And what kind of word, what kind of covenant had God shown to us? The word faithfulness, right? We can see in the Bible, God sometimes immediately fulfills his word, right? But sometimes God takes 2,000 years to fulfill his word. We cannot say that while we're waiting, and let's say God planned to fulfill his word 2,000 years later. While we're waiting, we cannot say, "I don't see it." Therefore, we doubt God's faithfulness. We cannot. If God said it, God will fulfill it. So to God, in God's sight, he said it. Basically, to him, there's no time difference. But to us, we have time difference. For example, God promised to Abraham to have descendants. And the very interesting thing is, Abraham waited for 25 years. And for these 25 years, does it mean that God had no power to give Abraham a son immediately? No. Of course not. But it happened to be he had son at age 100. Why not 99 or 98, 96? Why not 100? Why is that 100? There's many reasons why God gave Abraham the son at age 100. There's many reasons for it. Okay, so God also gave us a promise. But to him, it's for sure. But to us, if we don't have the concept, I truly understand the concept of absolute, we will doubt about it, okay? But let's see, let's talk about the several covenants that God made with men. And that's very important too, okay? For example, the first covenant that God made with men, who's the first one? Adam, right? The covenant means agreement. Adam. This is recorded in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Please turn to that. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay? This is the covenant that God made between Adam and Eve. Between God and men. God said, any tree you can eat. But if you eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat of it, you surely die. Okay? God is speaking to Adam. Who's Adam? His son. And we can see that God didn't joke about it. God was very faithful to his word too. Even though Adam was his son, but when Adam did so, he indeed died, both physically and spiritually. Okay? So God doesn't really show favoritism. And there's some people outside in other denominations really don't understand God's character. They say that, you know, we are children of God. How can God forsake me? Or how could, you know, God do this to me? They don't believe it. They feel like once you are safe, you are safe forever because God will not reject a person because just like a son. You know, how would I deny my son? So they're thinking that way. They think that there's no way God will reject me even though I sin. Okay? But if you look at the Bible carefully, God's word is absolute. It doesn't matter whether soon or later, but God will do it. And that's what matters. And for Adam, he died. Okay? And so there's immediately, he discovered he had sin. He was naked, shameful before God, spiritually, so he died. And physically, he died many years later. Let's look at the second one, the covenant that God made with men. The second one is Noah. The Noah received the covenant from God, and that's recorded in Genesis chapter 9. We know that at that time, in Noah's time, people were very wicked, right? But Noah obeyed God. In fact, he also obeyed God to build the ark, to save the animals, and also to save his families. Later on, God said that he would destroy the world. And even though there are only 8 people at that time, but God didn't say, oh, still too many, I decided to change my word. No. When time is up, it doesn't matter to God how many people are there, because truth does not depend on majority. When the time comes, God simply performs his word, and those people are basically eliminated. Okay, so Noah obeyed God, and God made a covenant with him, and God said to Noah that he will never again destroy the world with the water. Right, and also God gave the flesh to human being, animals for human being to eat, but the human being cannot eat the blood. That's the covenant that God made. And sometimes we will discover that the covenant that God made, sometimes we only see that it's one-sided. Either, for example, for Adam, God told Adam, if you eat a fruit, if you eat a tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll die. Okay, that's one-sided, right? But if you look at what God's covenant with Noah, Noah basically received the blessing. God said, I will do this, I do this, I do this to you, for you. But it seems like Noah didn't do anything. But actually, Noah did. He obeyed God. Therefore, God was pleased with him, and God made covenant with him and gave him the promise. The third one is Abraham. And the promises, we can look at ourselves in Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1 to 3. I'm sure that we are quite familiar with these passages. Noah's covenant, or God's covenant with Noah, to this day, we still observe, right? God did not destroy the world with flood, only one time. And what's God's covenant with Abraham? At first time, God promised him he'll have descendants, and his name will be great, okay? And he'll be a great nation. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 16 to 18, God confirms it, okay? This is a promise, but for more than about 40 years, more than 40 years, from this time to this time, Abraham had proven to God, and God gave him the covenant or promise to him that, let's turn to what, let's look at Genesis. Chapter 22, verse 16. And said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Verse 17. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemy. Verse 18. In your seed all the nation of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Okay. This is the covenant, also the promise that God gave to Abraham. And Paul had elaborated, in your seed all nation of the earth shall be blessed. What it means by that, it means the Messiah shall come from you. Okay? So this is the covenant that God made to Abraham. And when is it fulfilled? 2,000 years later. From the time of Abraham until 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was born. 2,000 years. Think about it. But God did not forget. So what I'm trying to say is, we human beings, if human beings want, some people who do not believe, they can criticize God. They can always use something immediate things to criticize God, say, not faithful. But God, sometimes we cannot understand, where's the justice? Where's God's faithfulness? How come God did not perform his word? Sometimes it's because we look at so short term. But in God's sight, God is always fulfilled his word. Okay? The next one I want to mention to you is Isaac. Isaac is a very interesting one that I mentioned. Let's look at Genesis 17, verse 19. Let's read carefully what God said to Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall be your son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Whom God made covenant with? God said, I will make covenant with Isaac. So what kind of covenant did God make with Isaac? Let's turn to Genesis 26, verse 3 and 5. Genesis 26, 3 to 5. This is what God said to Isaac. Genesis chapter 26, 3 to 5. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to you, Abraham, your father. Verse 4. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. In your seed, all the nation of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Here, basically, God made the covenant with Abraham, and God gave that promise to Isaac. And Isaac represents the child of promise. There's a difference, okay? Especially in Galatians chapter 4, if you have read that chapter. Galatians chapter 4, Paul elaborated that there are actually two kinds of descendants. In Romans chapter 9, Paul said that it's not that God's word failed. He said that not all God's children, not all of God's children are God's children. Let's turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Verse 6. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Verse 7. Nor are they of all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Isaac, remember, Isaac and Ishmael are actually brothers, but from different mothers. Isaac was born through promise, but Ishmael was born through human way, human method. And so, here, Bible mentioned that not that God's word failed. God still performed his word until this day. In the time of Paul, how come not all the Israel are God's children? And Paul saying to us, there are two kinds of children. One is born through the flesh. The other one is born through the promise. And this is written in Galatians chapter 4. Right? And so God fulfilled his promise. So among the people who are the so-called the promise, children of promise, are those people who actually do it through God's way, or in other words, obey God. So they are considered the children of promise. And those who don't, even though they are Israelites, they are considered children of flesh. Okay? So God, and the thing is, God made covenant with Isaac, and this Isaac is the one that God called. God did not call Ishmael. So today, we need to, well, actually, True Jesus Church is actually through the promise. Bible prophesies about the true church. And we need to receive Holy Spirit and justify by faith. And that kind of people are the children of promise. So this is Isaac, the covenant that God made with Isaac. It's different from Abraham, okay? In turn, that Isaac is the child of promise, okay? God only make covenant with Isaac, not Ishmael. Because children promise, obeying God. The last one I'd like to mention with you is David. The reason we mention these five people, because these five people actually have God make important covenant with them, and it affects us. In what kind of covenant God make with David? Let's turn to First Chronicle 17, verse 10 to 14. First Chronicle chapter 17, verse 10. Can somebody read it? Julius? Oh, no, Julius not here. Ryan? Yeah. to 14, right? 14. Here I mentioned the context is basically talking about that David has desire to build God's house and that he desired to touch God. And you know what? God said, well, since you're going to build a house for me, well, I will build a house for you, an everlasting house. And also gave that promise to David that from your descendant, there will be a person who will reign forever. I'll give the kingdom to him. Okay? So, how did David obtain this promise? Of course, all this time, right, before he sent, he had been obeying God. And he had desired to build God's house. So God said, since that's your desire, I will build your house. So we can see that God truly practiced what he preached. Huh? The Lord said, treat unto others as you want to be treated, right? So David had desire. And David had desire to build God's house. And God said, okay, then I will build your house. So David obtained this promise. And this promise, after many years later, in Psalm chapter 89, verse 34, this is what God said. Let's turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. 34. Psalm 89:34. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lip. Verse 35. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. Verse 36. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a son before me. 37. And it shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. Okay, 37. So God once again repeat his promise, his assurance to the Israelites, saying that God will definitely fulfill his promise. So what can we learn from these five people? Okay, we're going to talk about application now. First application we need to learn is that do not doubt God's word or his faithfulness. I can assure you that in our life, that we'll encounter some people in 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 to 7. Ryan, can you please read? Thank you. I have heard people saying to me, look at the Bible, okay? God says he's coming, right? Throughout the ages, right? God says he's coming. so far, but he hasn't come. Okay? And of course, sometimes people say that, some people, when they say, oh, when God's coming, God said he said he come, but how come he doesn't come? Some people saying that as want to know more. But some people say that it's also, some people, right, say such thing. It's as arrogant, as insulting God, say, challenge God's promise. God said he's coming, but I don't see it, okay? And such people, when they ask that, how are you going to answer them? Really, we cannot say anything because we had nothing to prove it to them, right? God said coming. In fact, sometimes people quoted Matthew chapter 24, see the signs of time, right? Signs of end time. This, the earthquake, the war will happen. And people say, look at it, throughout the history, right? Wars, earthquake happens anyway. And so, you know, sometimes people are not quite sure if God's promise will be fulfilled or not. But through looking at this, through these five characters, some God fulfilled promise right away. Some, very short, very long time. But it doesn't matter how long is it. God will fulfill his word. So don't be like those 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, those people that challenges God. Another thing is 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. You talk about temptations. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Okay? Here it says God is faithful. So when we are in temptations, number one, do God know about it? God know about it, okay? Number two, since we're facing temptation, is it something that we can handle? Yes. Okay? Now, there are some people saying, no, God's not that faithful. Look at so many people. When they face temptation, they fail. You see? How can God be faithful? Well, what are you going to say? Well, there's nothing to say. God is still faithful. Absolute. There's no doubt about it. Okay? It's all to an end. If we don't doubt, absolute, don't doubt faithfulness, God's faithfulness. So what? You say all you want, I still believe it. That's the way I am. Okay? That's something imprinted in my heart. That's the way, what's called faith. Okay? We can come up a lot of reasons to some people can show from the Bible, say God's not faithful. But at the same time, of course, I can show a lot of Bible passage, God's faithful. And there's no end to the arguments. In the end, it's whether you want to believe God's faithful or not. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God is faithful. In fact, God gave us the temptation that we can overcome. However, one thing, it's up to you, up to us, what we want to do with it. For when Adam or Eve, she was clearly told not to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. She has the ability not to eat it. She has the ability. She can do it. There's a possibility that she can overcome. But she decided to follow what Satan said. This is no big deal. I mean, this is very logical. Just like if we were in trouble, right? Somebody tried to help us. And then say, no, I don't want your help. We cannot overcome it. So whose fault is it? It's ours. Okay? So when we're in trouble, okay, God is going to help us. But if we don't rely on God, who to blame? So we can, all kinds of temptation we can overcome. Also, there's one thing. Don't mix up. Sometimes if God determined to punish a person, to truly punish that person, because like Ahab, he worshiped idols. he will let Ahab encounter certain things that he cannot overcome. Basically, that was his punishment. That was for him. So, of course, we're not like that. But usually, what I'm trying to say is, God is definitely is faithful. He will not let us tempt beyond our ability. We can overcome it. Okay. Ahab. Okay. Ahab worshipped idols, and he married to Jezebel, and he did a lot of wicked things. Okay, and God actually pronounced his judgment that God would destroy his entire household. Right? True. Okay, and then later on, that promise was fulfilled. Okay, and for Ahab, but also for his descendants, there's no way they can escape God's judgment. That was meant for them. And God also pronounced judgment to Ahab that he would die in the battle. There's no way for him to escape. So no matter how hard he tried, there's no escape. There's nothing, no way to overcome it. He had to be defeated. He had to be killed. Okay? That's what I meant. So at times, it's a punishment. That's the way it is. But at times, when we face temptation, we are capable of overcoming it. Okay? So there's difference between temptation and punishment. Okay. We spend too much time on this thing. Let's go on to the next one. God's justice. God's justice and God's mercy. This is something that people often question. I'm sure that we also question God's justice before and God's mercy, especially when in this world, when we encounter injustice or we see people suffering, we have heard people saying, "Where's God?" Okay, if your God is so just, so merciful, why would God let all these evil things happen around us? Right? Heard it before, right? Okay. Because the time is short, make it go fast. But first, let's see the Bible passage. This is B. Justice. First, God himself say that he's just. That's recording Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21. That he says he is a just God. So if God say he's a just God, he's a just God. I don't know why people tell him. Okay. Second, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 5 says that he does no wrong. Okay. Is something wrong happening? Don't blame on God. He does no wrong. 3. Okay. Psalm 145, verse 17. So it said, "Lord is just in all his ways." Okay? The Lord is just in all his ways. 4. Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are foundation of God's throne. Okay. Here there are four passages. There's much more than that, but they all describe God's absoluteness, the certainty of God's justice. Okay? And the application for this is, you can fill it out, right? Don't doubt God's justice, okay? It's that simple. Okay, what else? There are a couple of things I want to elaborate. One is, God is very, very just, more than any one of us think, okay? Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, 36 to 37. Matthew chapter 36. Ryan, can you please read? Matthew chapter 12, 36 to 37. Okay, you probably didn't realize it, okay? God is so just. God is going to judge every one of us on every single word we said. Maybe you forgot what you said, but God remembers. And God will justify us or condemn us based on what we said. That's how just is with God. And also with David. When David sinned, right? Nobody knows, but God knows. And when the time comes, God pronounced judgment against David. And if you read carefully, God one by one say the crime of David and how God is going to punish David. So it's not just one crime that David commit. David commits several crimes. And God punished each one of them very severely. We have a truth seeker in Irvine. Well, she testified that she came to Baldwin Park to pray for Holy Spirit. And while she was praying for Holy Spirit, God let her see all the things that she did wrong in the past. God let her see all of them. She repented except one. This one she did not repent because she felt that, oh, that one doesn't need to repent. That, well, what she did is that when she came to the United States, you know, the United States had a lot of video camera, right, that in the shop, to see that if somebody was stealing, okay? And so she walked in and she saw a video camera. So, oh, yeah? You think the video camera is that good, huh? Let me show you, okay? So she stole a hat, okay, somehow, and put it in her purse and walked away, and she was not caught, okay? And so when God showed that picture to her, she don't feel like that's stealing. So she didn't repent on that, but she repented others. After a couple weeks later, after some times, she became very, very sick. And then God still confronted with her that with the thing that she did, what she do wrong, and kind of tell her that's why you get sick, okay? And she was almost dying. She said, and she confessed, said, yeah, I'm wrong, okay? So from her testimony, well, of course I see the love of God for her, okay? God could have said, okay, you don't want to repent on this one, forget it. I'll talk to you on the judgment day. Not be too late. She'll be, you know. But then God loved her, and God still pursued after it. Even though she maybe done 10,000 of them, and it's only one, she did not repent. But God still go after it, that one. So is God just? Very, very just. Nothing escaped him. Everything had to give account. Okay? So this verse, okay, God's very just. Yes. Uh-huh. Right. But everything, God will judge everything. Now, while we're still alive, just like the sister, this truth seeker, right? We had to deal with it, right? We had to repent. We had to prove to God that we indeed repent by bearing the fruit of repentance, by changing our deeds, behavior, and then not stop saying those things that we say in the past, right? And if we repent, yes, God will forgive. God will forgive. But we need to deal with every single thing that we have done wrong. We must have some kind of 交代, some kind of, you must deal with it, you know, confront it and overcome it. Okay? Clear? Yes, no? Okay, any questions? Really? Matthew chapter 12, 36. And that last with it while we still live, while we're still alive, we repented and we changed. On that judgment day, yes, we still can stand. Okay? Next one, God's mercy. Spend too much time in the beginning. Now, we're going to run out of time, right? This is Torah 10, right? We end at Torah 10? Yeah, okay. Okay. Let's write down the verses first. God is love, right? This is absolute. 1 John 4, 8. Second. God is merciful. And gracious. This is in Psalm 145, 8 to 9. That's enough. Yeah, this one. 3. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This is Ezekiel 33, verse 11. I want to elaborate a little bit more on God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. When a wicked person die, I think many people are quite happy. Phew, I finally found relief. I had no more trouble from him. Okay, but for God, Bible says he had no pleasure. Yes, he had no pleasure. But from the testimony I hear from others, that when a wicked dies, God actually shed tears. God actually is very sad in his heart. Right? And this, God is love. If just like his own son is, just like David, Absalom, when Absalom died, even though he did wrong, he felt very sad in his heart. Fourth, God is kind to ungrateful. Yes? What? Am I spelling wrong? Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Questions? God is kind to ungrateful. Sorry, that's too close. Sorry. To the selfish and to the ungrateful. And then let's write down the last one. Lord, die for sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. These are just some examples of, I know, I hate myself. I hate myself, I spend too much time in the God's faithfulness, that first part. The Lord died for sinners. These are the manifestation, this is a simple principle, but if you look at in the Bible, there are many examples how God led Israelites and bear the complaints for 40 years and still patient with them, okay? And when the Israelites went to the land of Canaan, they rebelled, they disobeyed God. God continued to show mercy to them. There's so many examples. You can think about it. I guess I leave it for next session.